Hey, if you're listening to this, Trust Driven Care is our new software and education, and it's all about helping to grow your office through building trust with your patients and your members. One great feature that we added was the ability to add membership sites. Membership sites are places where you can hold your own video courses that you offer to people in your marketing programs, or maybe you have a certain coursework on nutrition you want to give every single patient who comes in for a new patient exam. These membership courses can be so powerful. If you've ever used something like Kajabi or Thinkific or Learnistic, it's very similar to that. We wanted to add them in so everyone can see the benefit of those and grow their practice through sharing that information with their patients and their members. Check out Trust Driven Care. It includes that as one of the great features that we think will help build trust with your patients, grow your audience, grow your impact in your community, and create more raving fans. So go ahead and check it out at trustdrivencare.com. Hey, welcome to Clinic Gym Radio. I am so glad you're here. It is our goal to help 10,000 offices build into a clinic gym. Why? It's the best version of musculoskeletal care, and it's the only version that's perfectly in line with the evidence. The word exercise comes up more than any other word in the research, so let's implement that. And this interview was built to help you understand how to do that. Let's jump in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Clinic Gym Radio. I am your host, as always, Dr. Josh Satterley. Today, we are going to talk about how the heck you can get people from your clinic into your gym. So there's always a couple issues, you know, growing your clinic gym. I think the first one you got to kind of tackle is number one, just growing your clinic. And until you have a healthy clinic with enough people coming in every week, I would define that as 20 to 30 new patients a month. You don't really want to start a gym. It's going to be distracting. It's going to be a lot of extra effort. It's a lot of work. You got all these problems, equipment, teaching classes and stuff. Focus on getting your clinic healthy, and then you can focus on adding a gym. But if it's stabilized with about 30 new patients a month, then you're in a good spot. If you're wondering what I would say for how to get people into your clinic, number one, make sure you are getting Google reviews left and freaking right. That's super powerful, super easy, super cheap, doesn't cost you a dollar, juices your SEO like crazy. Number two, respond to every review you got. Make sure that you're involved in your Google business profile. I think that's the lowest hanging fruit of anything. Second to that, I would say reactivate your patients who haven't been in for 90-ish days. Make coming to your office just part of their yearly routine, and it takes effort from you. But you're talking about sending out some texts and whatnot. If you want to send out text messages, the best system in the world is Trust Driven Care, but we can talk about that later. Anyways, let's talk goals. Goals are so important and so overlooked. You know, when I was building out our communication software, Trust Driven Care, it started with looking at about 70 different articles, all in PubMed about patient communication, improving it, what do patients look for? And one of the things that came up time and time again in all those articles. Maybe I'll provide a citation list or something. But anyway, it was so common in all the research for patients to report that the doctor had goals, but that the patient's goals were not honored. So let me explain what we're talking about. Imagine you have a runner who comes in and they say, "Hey, I have knee pain," right? And through your diagnostic process, you determine that a large portion of the knee pain is the fact that their glutes on the involved side are, you know, weak or not firing or whatever language you want to use, and that there's also a significant reduction of dorsiflexion, right? The patient's goal is to run more, right? They want to run more. The doctor's goal may be to mobilize that, increase the dorsiflexion by 17 to 20 degrees, right? And activate the glutes. But the patient's goal, once again, is to run more. The problem we get into is because we are so trained in the medicine, we treat the disease, not the person. And that's another statement that came out of the research. But when we say treat the disease and not the person, we focus so much on improving dorsiflexion and term everything as in how much it's going to help improve dorsiflexion and blah, blah, blah. And the patient's sitting there going, "What the hell is dorsiflexion? I don't even know. I've never used that term. I've never said that term. I don't know how to spell that term. The reason I came in was to run. I want to run more. I want to run pain-free." Well, as you add that up and stack those conversations up again and again and again, using the doctor's motivation, using the doctor's goals rather than the patient's goals, it starts to erode the trust they have in you as their provider, and it erodes the trust they have in the fact that you're paying attention to why they came in, their reason for coming in. Remember, they didn't need to come in until whatever they had, the pain or the lack of movement or the lack of strength, became such an issue that it interfered with their life. They don't come in at the first sign of pain, right? You wouldn't as a patient. I don't. But when it gets to that point, they come in because they are now it's invading their ability to achieve their goals or the things they want to do. So when that patient gives you that information, it becomes so easy to get them involved in any sort of upsell that you want to have, including adding them to the gym. Why? Because now, instead of the conversation being all about improving dorsiflexion, we can instead say, hey, we want to help you run. We want to help you run farther. We want to help you run more. We want to help you run pain-free. And to that end, we have a couple recommendations. First, let's get you out of pain. We're going to get aggressive about treating the surrounding joints so that you can run more, right? And then you can say, and then to support your running and to have you feel even better while you run, we have a whole host of supplements that we recommend, including fish oil or these protein supplements or whatever you believe in that you think will help them reduce their inflammation and run more. But you don't phrase it as this is glucosamine chondroitin and we use it from pure East Atlantic oyster shells because of its blah, blah, blah. Like, they don't care. What they care about is running more. So offer them the supplements in the context of these will help you run more. These will help you do that. Then you can say, hey, in addition to the supplements and the clinical treatment, we also have a gym. And that gym, we're going to do exercises specific to keep you out of pain, increase your speed, and allow you to run more often and faster. And they'll probably light up at that idea, like, wow, that's even possible. Well, with the right training, it is. I mean, it's not an overnight process, but come to our gym, train for 6 months, and let's look at your times. I'm positive they will be better. You'll feel better. You'll be more resilient. You'll be able to run more often. Run, 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 run. And that's what they're really interested in. But if we start out with our goals and we keep restating our goals and, hey, make sure you come back next week because we got to make sure we're working on the dorsiflexion, it loses the desire. The patient loses desire to come back because their goals aren't being recognized. Now, this is all throughout healthcare. I'm trying to put it in the perspective of a clinic gym, but I'll use a different version of healthcare. One that is actually completely opposed to the medical goals, right? Both of my parents, unfortunately, passed away from cancer. Both of them went into hospice. Hospice is a patient goal-driven business. End of story. Let me dive into that. If you're not familiar with hospice, hospice is the kind of care that you put your family members especially into when it's clear you're not going to beat this disease. This disease has won all the treatments and the surgery and the medications and the chemotherapy and the radiation and, everything you've thrown at this hasn't worked. And unfortunately, you're in a losing battle. I've gone through this with a bunch of relatives. It sucks. And if you are somebody who has put a loved one into hospice, I would love to offer you a big virtual hug right now. It's tough. But what is the goal of hospice? Why do we put people into hospice care? When it becomes clear that you're not going to beat the disease, the language shifts from, hey, let's extend their life or let's do whatever. And instead, the language instead goes to, I want to make them comfortable. I want them to be comfortable at home. And so hospice really is returning that person to their own house. Let them live it out, live out their final days in their own home, surrounded by family. And oftentimes you're giving them a lot of pain medication, a lot of pain medication to keep them comfortable, but you're not doing anything that's going to kill the cancer. I mean, at this point, I can think back to my dad. He had brain surgery, or he had a brain tumor. He'd had a ton of surgeries. He was missing a large portion of his skull still at the end. They didn't want to reinstall it until they knew they were done doing surgery in there because the trauma of removing the bone flap was just too much. So we kept it off. He spent a year wearing everywhere he had to go in public. The risk of falling and hitting your brain is pretty heavy, so he wore a bike helmet nearly everywhere. And yeah, it was tough. But when it was clear that we weren't making any progress, that cutting on him and exposing him to radiation and heavier chemotherapy, all of that was just beating up a already tired and fatigued body. So we said, hey, we made the decision. We want to bring him home and he can ride out his final days with his family around him, which he did. My point is not to be a bummer in the story, but my point is instead that the goals at the end of his life were not about how we're going to attack this disease. The goals were, what do you really want when you're not going to win? And the goals shifted. The goals shifted from aggressive treatment to palliative care, to, you know, being comfortable, to being in your own house. Medically, that's in direct opposition to how you should attack cancer. But we attacked it. We had previously attacked it and nothing really worked. So anyways, that's all goal-driven care, right? If we go back to the clinic and try and pick up the mood here a little bit, going back to the clinic, you have somebody who comes in, how you phrase them, their care can be done by using a patient goal-driven thing. In fact, if I were in charge, in every EHR in the world, there would be two sections at the top. Number one, the current diagnosis that we're treating, right? And at the top, the patient's goal. So if a patient comes in and says, hey, I want to get rid of my low back pain. Why? Because it gets in the way of exercise. Cool. Why? Because I need to exercise 5 days a week. Awesome. Why? And let's say that it's some, you know, 52-year-old female that just doesn't look like she works out a lot. Something's up here. You should start asking why questions and maybe multiple layers of them to find out why is she so intent on exercising 4 to 5 days a week. And if she says, you say why, and she says, I need to get rid of my low back pain because I need to work out a lot because my daughter is getting married in Hawaii in a year and I want to look good walking on the sand. And I want to feel stable walking on the sand because she's having a beach wedding. All right. That goal is super clear. It's super easy to serve and it's super different than worrying about, you know, facet imbrication or whether the ligamentum flavum has thickened and, you know, what about encroachment on her IVFs? All of those things may be part of her care plan on the medical side, but those are doctor-driven goals. The goals for her are to feel good enough and exercise aggressively to lose weight. Phrase everything that way. Why are you coming in? It's so that you can get rid of this back pain so that you can train to be at your daughter's wedding. If she falls off the schedule, call her a reminder or send her a text saying, hey, I thought the goal was to get you feeling good at your daughter's wedding. Not the goal was to increase the, you know, the glide of your nerve roots through your IVFs. She doesn't care about that. What does she care about? She cares about being strong enough and pain-free enough to walk her daughter or walk on the sand with her daughter at her wedding. Awesome. Phrase her goals back to her. Now, the great news is when you do this, you will see, if you do it right, you will see the patient's eyes light up. They will say, it's so nice that somebody actually listened to me. I feel like I was finally heard, right? That's a common statement in the research is, I don't feel like anyone listened to me or I don't feel like I was heard. Instead, feed them back their own goals. So what does this mean? It means you need to add that into your conversation on that initial patient visit. Ask them what their goals are. If you want to peel this away, I've learned a few questions along the path from various people. One is asking why repeatedly. That's in a lot of different books, but why, you know, the seven whys, I think they call it. If you keep asking why, you'll often peel back the BS they're putting in front of it to the real reason they're in there. Okay. So you could say, you know, they would say, hey, I need to get rid of my back pain. Why does that matter? Well, it gets in the way of this. Why does that matter? Well, that gets in the way of this. Why does that matter? And you get down to, I got a year to train like hell for my daughter's wedding. Okay. If that's the thing that's motivating them in the relatively long term, so 1 to 2 years, grab onto it, use it as an anchoring event and start helping them along that path, which would probably mean you want to add them to your gym as well, right? If they're working out hard, they need some supervision so they don't jack themselves up. If you've got a clinic gym, that's a perfect patient for that. Anyways, what else? You can ask why 7 times. You can also do the phrasing that kind of will tell you how motivated and what the pressure really is. Asking them, and I think I learned this actually from Dwayne Golbeck, a great chiro with a clinic gym out in Oklahoma. Ask them, why now? Like, why are you starting now? What's the, you know, you've had back pain for a long time, or you might have a knee pain for a long time. Why now? Maybe they reveal something. I just got a divorce, or, you know, my kids are going into high school and we want to travel or whatever. And why us? Like, why did they choose your facility? Whatever they say there, like, oh, well, I heard you're really good with runners, or I heard that you don't tell people to stop exercising, or I heard this. Make sure you note that, because you're doing a hell of a job with your marketing message there, right? So why us and why now are great questions. Those are maybe two of the 7 layers of why, right? And then you can dive even deeper and ask the person, how are you motivated? Are you typically motivated by negative reinforcement, like saying you can't or hold me back? Or are you motivated by positive reinforcement, citing your progress and whatnot, right? I think those things are really good when you want to poke at people during rehab and exercise, but you don't want them to get pissed or start crying, which I've done both. And you don't, you know, when somebody cries in their session, it's really hard to get them to come back. So those things are great, but establish those goals early. And those goals, again, allow you to upsell your care into the gym. If their whole reason is to work, their whole motivation to get rid of low back pain is because they want to walk on the beach with their daughter and feel strong enough, hey, they're revealing that it's not a big leap to go to an exercise plan. Hey, we'll provide you a high-end exercise plan. We'll watch you every step of the way. They'd probably be ecstatic. But if it's just to get rid of low back pain, it's like, why would I lift weights to get rid of low back pain? In fact, lifting weights sometimes causes low back pain, I would think. That doesn't sound like a good option. So there's ways to phrase it, but in pulling out those goals and making sure that you keep track of them, that you're stating, and that everything you deliver back is in light of those goals. Why are we deadlifting? Well, deadlift has been shown to help runners maintain their lower body strength better than almost any exercise. And they, when runners do deadlifts, they run faster, they have less knee pain. There you go. That's why we're doing deadlifts. And I'll probably be like, okay. Or deadlifts build glutes, and glutes help people with knee pain prevent future knee pain. Okay, great. But if you're going, we're doing deadlifting because everybody should do 22% of their exercise as a hinge type exercise, and deadlifts are a hinge, and they're not interested, right? So with that, I would, before we sign off, I would say, make sure you're digging out those goals. And again, if I was looking at your EHR, put that in the top somehow. Maybe it's in the medical alert. Maybe you have a section you can put in. Make sure you're clear on everybody's goals. And every time you state whatever you're doing, whatever the next step in rehab is, or why you're doing a certain treatment, or why you're using shockwave or needling, state it back in light of their goals. Use their goals as the conversation piece, and you'll be amazed at what happens. It also helps you create a better business, because when you are serving their goals, they're going to ask you for all sorts of upsells and upgrades. Hey, can you help me with this? Can you do that? You think I could come in a couple times a week and you could stretch me out? Absolutely. We just started offering that right now because you asked for it. Those goal-based conversations are important, but remember, it's always the patient's goals, not your goals. It's the patient's goals, not your goals of care. So with that, I hope that's useful and helps you build an amazing clinic gym. As always, this is Dr. Josh Satterlee saying, go out there, maximize your license, and live the life you dream of. Thanks a lot for listening to Clinic Gym Radio. If you're looking for more information about me, about us, about our programs, then just head to clinicgymhybrid.com. Again, that's clinicgymhybrid.com. You can check us out there. We've got our accelerator program and a few other programs that will help you get up and running as quickly as possible and making more money while providing excellent active therapy to your patients.